everybody, not just the preacher. That's right. And anybody that wants something, there's turnip greens in the back for everybody because we're ministering to each other. Those are called ministering spirits. So it's not about me. I am here to minister to you. I'm not here to receive back from you. I'm here to give to you. That's why Jesus washed feet before he left. Okay, enough of that. But one more thing. But I have heard him say, God didn't call me to paint. I mean, I'm telling you things I've heard. God didn't call me to paint. God didn't call me to mow grass. He called me to preach. And everybody, I'm telling you, that I've ever heard say that are struggling or not alive today. God called me to do whatever his people need. That's what he called me to do. Because he calls ministers to minister to his people. Oh, okay. So Elijah knew that Elisha was the man by the way he reacted to the anointing. Okay? What have I done to thee? I didn't do this to you. He did not come up to him and say, see, this is what I'm afraid where fallacies of the 21st century are. The Lord gave me a vision the other night to talk to you, and I just want to tell you what he's told me. Thus saith the Lord, you know, God's going to use you in what you're going to do, Brother Elisha. The God is going to use you mighty. You will receive twice of what I have, and you're going to go back home, and you're going to kill your donkeys and your mules, and you're going to eat them, and you're going to quit thy job and follow me. He told him none of that. The anointing told him that. The anointing told him that. And so you know someone's anointed when you don't have to teach them what they need to give up. I said something there. You don't have to teach people what they need to give up because the Lord will tell them, this is not good for you. This is not good for you. You need to burn that. You need to consume that. So you won't never want to go back to that. My, my, my. I got to go on. Elijah is now committed to follow his Elisha is committed to follow Elijah, and true commitment never really occurs until you have nothing to go back to. That's when the true commitment comes in. And, you know, sometimes when you are truly committed, you have to ride it out. Look at somebody and say, ride it out. Would you do that? Ride it out. Ride it out. Because when you are really committed to something, you got to ride it out sometimes. And even, you remember the Shunammite woman that Elisha had the little boy and he dies? And so he's dead and she's rocking the dead baby. And sometimes I'm afraid we rock a dead baby too long. If it's dead, let's get up and do something about it. And she placed the baby on the man of God's bed. And she got ready, got dressed. And her husband, with all these sarcastic remarks, where are you going? It ain't the new moon. It's not the feast. It's not this and all that. And she was like, shut up. I need help. And I don't need you to be cracking these things at me. I need help. And so She Bible says she even saddled the ass. And she got her a servant. And this is what she said. She said, I want you to drive. And I don't want you to slack your riding unless I tell thee. In other words, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to ride it out. You hear me going, unless I tell you to stop, we're going to ride this thing out. And some things you have to ride to the end. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you can't get out now. Some things you got to ride to the end. And she rode it all the way to the end. And guess what? She got her baby back. She got her baby back. Mm-mm-mm. Many times God does give us an exit. However, I thank God that I like to see when I'm coming up on a city or a place, it says next exit, you know. Thank God there are some cities that say next three exits Atlanta, because if I didn't have an extra exit, I probably wouldn't get it. And I preached a sermon to y'all a long time ago called Don't Miss Your Exit. You remember that? Don't miss your exit. Because if you miss your exit, you got to ride it out. See, and many times God gives us some godly advice. Did you know godly people can give you worldly advice about things in the world? I don't mean carnal advice. I mean, you know, a lot of times you face worldly situations, but you need godly advice how to handle a worldly situation. And so many times when you don't listen to godly advice, you miss your exit and you have to ride it out. I recall where Paul was a prisoner one time, and they're going to be taking him to prosecute him. And so they wanted to sail by Crete.
And Paul perceived. He said, I perceive. This is a godly man among an ungodly group of people. He said, I perceive that we should not loose from here and sail by Crete. For I believe that we will suffer much hurt and much harm, not only to the lad and to the lad and to the ship, but also to our lives. Don't sail. But the Bible says that the centurion believed the owner of the ship more than he believed Paul. He believed worldly advice over the godly advice. Because the wind from the south blew gently. He was looking at the circumstances around him and said, well, he did not know there was a storm out there. Euroclydon was the name of it. And I don't know, you may have a Euroclydon out there too. Or just a Clyde, I don't know. Somebody out there that's your storm and you don't see it and you get godly advice. He was telling him, this is your exit. Don't go. Don't sail, don't loose, stay here. But they wouldn't do it. And the Bible says that when they got out there, that the winds were so strong, it became dangerous. And it became so dangerous that they had to ride it out. They said we had to let her drive. Now, what happens is it gets so boisterous and so dangerous, they think they're going to jump out. And Paul says, no, sir, ride it out. And I'm just telling somebody in the Lord tonight, you better ride it out. There's some things you just got to ride it out. If you're committed to it, ride it out to the end. And when the end comes, you'll be glad you did. And so Paul told them, he said, if you'll just ride it out, there won't be any loss of anything but the ship. Right? And they obeyed him this time. And sure enough, that's all that was lost. And I'll close with this. I got more I could tell you, but Paul also, I don't know about you, but I do have trouble sometimes when I give advice to people, and I know y'all don't. I know y'all don't because y'all are holy. Y'all pray for me. But sometimes when I give people advice and they don't take it, and what happens, what I told them they were going to happen, it's tough on me sometimes not to say. And, you know, I don't feel bad because I read here, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. And would if you would have, we would not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. I told you so. I have to work on that. Y'all pray for me. Elisha stayed with Elijah and wrote it out. He wrote it out. It wasn't easy. It was, yes, sir. He was the fetch it boy. Just like I told you, carry my bags. You can't have my mantle till you carry my bags. Now I'm going to the other side of Jordan. And he got to follow this man around that he was going to take his place. And finally the day come when Elijah went up and the mantle came down. If you write it out, sooner or later, the anointing comes down. Every time I've seen it, the anointing flows down, right? And as Elijah went up, the mantle, the plowboy, the nobody, the who is he? He's a plowboy on the 12th. All of a sudden, this guy who was nothing gets the anointing and the double portion of that anointing. And now he takes this mantle and he goes back again. But he doesn't go back to daddy, and he doesn't go back to mama, and he doesn't go back to an oxen that he doesn't have. He goes back to Jordan. And he didn't say, where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? That's not what he said. He said, where is the God of the man I have been following? Let's see now if it works for me like it did for him. He took that and smote the water as he said, where is the God of Elijah? And the Bible says that when he smote the waters parted hither and thither. It was like the Red Sea. He had seen this before as Elijah had walked across this before. Can you imagine that? And you know who's over there as soon as he crosses? The sons of the prophets. He walks across it. Oh, here comes. Here. Yes, sir, boss. Here he comes. I'm just telling you this evening, God can take a nobody. You don't have to be a preacher's kid. You don't have to have a genealogy of anything. God can take a nobody. Obscurity to notoriety. David was a nobody. And then he was a somebody. We're not trying to be a somebody, but I'm telling you, when the anointing comes on you, you become what it wants you to be. And the Bible says that when a man has a gift, if he will use it properly, it will make what for him? Room for him and bring him before great people. So Elijah's gift was to follow Elijah. Elisha's gift was, let me. Yes, sir. What would you have me to do? And if you ever develop, folks, I'm here to tell you, if you ever develop a humble attitude, the Bible is very clear. Those that pride cometh before a fall, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that is humbled shall be lifted up. Learn to have a meek and a lowly spirit. The meek shall inherit something. The earth. The earth. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to close. I got to go. Amen. Learn to be submissive as Christ was submissive unto his church. He gave his life that we might live. Hallelujah. Amen. So how many of you believe tonight? Okay. How many of you will step out? Yeah. You know, I love to hear, you heard my mom talking that's stepping out. She don't mind stepping out. Brother Douglas, where you at? That old man don't mind stepping out. He would go up to somebody in the grocery store and say, you like preaching? We're going to find out if they do. He said, yes, sir, I like preaching. He told him about one. He said, well, look, I got some CDs I want to give you. So he gives him some CDs. He said he met him two or three times in the store. They passed by. I sure do appreciate you giving me these CDs. I sure appreciate that. And he's done it long enough. Guess what? He's not even reserved about doing it. At first, it's difficult. But when you realize that you can't take a light and hide it under a bushel and expect it to shine, step out. And let me tell you, if you're willing to step out, God will give you the opportunity. If you're not willing to step out, why would he give you the opportunity? So how many of you step out? Amen. How about stand up? Amen. Lord, I love y'all so much. I appreciate this church so very, very much. I think we have a wonderful core church here. I want to build it with more people just like you. Amen. Pray with me. God, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful so much for your blessings and your mercy, God, and your tender, loving care towards us, that even while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And even though we make mistakes, and yes, we are flesh, but Lord, help us to always be quick to find a place to repent, Lord, for you are truly kind and merciful to those that come to you with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You're near. Ask you to be with our congregation tonight. Help us to grow. And Sunday, Lord, we got a visiting preacher coming in. Lord, get a spark of revival in this church and in this people, God, that will grow from that moment on. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother White will be with us Sunday morning for morning worship. I expect God to move. So come Sunday morning, bring somebody with you. Don't forget the fish fry. You may need to sign up out there so we'll know how many's coming. So I heard a voice. Oh, squash. And cucumbers are in the back. Squash and cucumbers in the back. And desserts in the back. Is that right? What kind of dessert? Blueberry crunch? Because if there's blueberry crunch, tell them there's no dessert back there.